Well, good morning, everybody. This is going to be the first installment of a series of devotions we want to do that I've called the Collective Focus of the Church. It is a follow-up to a Bible study that we did a couple Sundays ago where we looked at the book of Hebrews and we talked about just God's perspective of the church. And so we want to continue that today. And I have to tell you, it's interesting talking about the church and God's design for the church and who we are as a church when I'm standing currently in our sanctuary and it's super empty. Now, it would normally be empty on Wednesday mornings like it is right now, with the exception of our staff. But it would normally not be empty tonight as we have our Wednesday night midweek service. And yet here we are. We're in an empty church and it's going to remain empty for a while because of this shutdown, this lockdown that we're in. Because we're all, or at least most of us or some of us, are safer at home. So I have to admit, that's kind of a hard thing for me as a pastor. You know, I genuinely love this church. I love the body that God has built here. We are a diverse church with diverse people, with diverse backgrounds and diverse histories and experiences and things like that. But the Bible tells us that we have one Father. And for those of us that are His kids, that makes us family. And, you know, I miss my family and I miss being here and I miss being together. But, you know, the interesting thing about the situation that we're in right now is that it gives us an amazing opportunity to rethink some things. And I think it's good for us to rethink what church is, not the idea of church and not what we do as a church, but what this is supposed to be. Because we use the word church a lot, and I wonder how many of us like fully understand what it is that we're talking about. Like, we say one thing, but I think we mean something else. It's interesting. So for those of you that know me, you know that I love Hispanic food. I love Hispanic culture. I love Hispanic food. And yes, I did mean to say that twice. No soy Latino en mi sangre, pero soy Latino en mi corazón. ¿Tú sabes? Yeah. So when I was in high school, I took my Spanish class and I really enjoyed it. And I had this couple that went to our church and they were tutoring me through the class. And we went on a missions trip that summer and that same couple were with us. As a matter of fact, I woke up one morning and they were the ones that were making breakfast for our team. And so I wanted to show them that their hard work paid off. And I was genuinely excited about them making breakfast for us. So I said, I looked at them and I said, oh, you know, look, it's the cochina de Mexico, right? And what I meant to say and what I should have said was the cocina de Mexico, right? And if you are a non-Spanish speaker, you should look up Google Translate and find out why it is that this couple looked at me, because I didn't say what I thought I meant to say, or what I didn't say what I thought I was saying, right? And so that to me is a picture of what we do when we talk about church. Now, during this whole time, there's a lot of people that have been saying stuff to the effect of, well, a church isn't a building, it's a people. That's true. But I would amend that just in this way, that the church isn't a building, it's the collective people of God. It's all of us. It's not even just individual organizations or individual buildings or people that make up those individual buildings, but it's all of us collectively. That if we are a part of the body of Christ, if we have given our lives to Jesus, if we have received from Him our salvation, then we are the church. And as such, there's an approach to this that we're supposed to have. And this is a great opportunity for us to consider that. As a matter of fact, consider is probably the best word to start with. And that's going to be the focus of this devotional thought this morning. As in how we consider one another, because that's what we're told to do in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 10, we're told in verse 24 and in verse 25, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." I think it's interesting that the author's approach to church, and it's not even just his approach to church. In context, what he had been talking about to this point in chapter 10 is our response to Jesus and what he has done for us and his perfect sacrifice for us and all that he accomplished, right? And because of this salvation that he's won for us, we're called to do a few things, and that's to pursue him intimately, to hold on to him and to not let go, and then to consider one another. To consider one another. Now, who's the one another? Who's the us that he's talking about? He's talking about the believers, the people that have given their life to Jesus, the people that have been covered by the blood of Jesus, to people who are in pursuit of Jesus. And he's telling us that if that's you, if you are his, then let us consider one another. I've thought a lot about this. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine not too long ago, and we were talking about just the nature of church and what the point of church is, wondering whether or not Jesus would be going to one of our churches, or if he would be checking out on a Sunday and hanging out with the tax collectors and the sinners. I think it's healthy for us to consider Jesus as the answer for what he desires for the church, considering we're his church, and the Bible tells us that we're his body. So what did Jesus do in his time with his disciples and all that we read in the Gospels? Jesus reached out to the tax collectors and the sinners, and he hung out and he connected with them for sure. But Jesus also invested in his people, right? He pursued his people. He taught his people. He loved on his people. And the truth remains that Jesus still does, because Jesus is still alive, right? We're not talking about somebody that existed at one time in history. We're talking about our God, right? Who we worship, who we pursue. And as a matter of fact, that's what we're told here in Hebrews, is that as we pursue him, it's important for us to consider one another, much in the same way that Jesus continues to do with us. Why do I say that? Well, because the idea of consider, literally translated from the Greek, means to perceive with clarity, to understand fully. It gives the idea of having so much focus that you're able to fully understand and fully take in that which you're looking at. And we're told to consider one another. Now, we already know that God sees right through us. He knows everything about us, and he looks deep inside of us, right? He knows what's going on in the innermost reaches of our soul. And we're told that it's our job as believers to think about each other. Now, that's kind of a difficult thing when you think about it, you know, to a certain degree. Like, some of us may be thinking about our church specifically because we haven't been able to see each other. We miss being around one another. We miss pursuing God together on a Sunday or on a midweek, or, you know, on our men's Bible study, women's Bible study, or whatever, right? Our prayer meetings. But the idea of considering one another is more than just having this fleeting thought or this afterthought, but to have this intent focus, right? And to be able to look at each other and to see what God sees. And that's the important place to start, to see each other through God's eyes. Now, that might be hard to look at another believer and just to understand that they have given their life to Jesus and that you have a connection with them, considering they might be a stranger to you. But in the same way that if you were to travel to another country and you were to see another American and know that you don't know them from Adam, and yet the fact that you come from the same place gives you a connection, well, even to a greater and infinite and eternal greater sense is the connection that we have as believers, right? Because the blood that covers us is thicker than the blood that runs through our veins. And we have a connection to one another that goes deeper because our human connections, be it friends or family, in its current existence, is going to end with our death. Now, if they love Jesus as you love Jesus, then that puts them in the category of our eternal family. And the Bible says that we are going to be with each other as we are with God for all eternity. And so the connection that we have on a spiritual plane is far deeper than that of the natural one. And so it's important for us to start seeing each other through those eyes. Now, what that does mean is that it means that we have to stop being judgmental about one another, right? Because it doesn't really matter who you are, where you come from, who the other person is, where they come from, how much you know about the Bible versus how much they know about the Bible, maybe what they did in their past versus what you did in your past. And there's this thing that happens so often with churches where we'll look at each other through these like lofty eyes as though maybe one of us are more superior than the other. And the reality is every human in existence is either a sinner in need of salvation or a sinner that's received salvation. Either way, we have the same common denominator, right? And none of us is more superior than another. And we have to be able to see each other through God's eyes and to be able to look at each other the way that God looks at us. See, we love that, right? We love the way that God sees us. He sees us as his child. He sees us as his own. He sees us as his work in progress, right? Like, he calls us friend. There's so much that we enjoy in the way that God looks at us. And I think if we're going to be able to consider one another the way that we're told to do so here, is it has to start by seeing in one another what God sees in us, right? Or to see in them what God sees in them, and to embrace that. To look at them and to see that that's your brother, that's your sister, because the same God that accepted you as his child has accepted them as well. And so we need to consider one another through those eyes and with that kind of a focus. See, this isn't an afterthought. This is intentional. Intentional. And so how do we do that? How do we consider one another? What's the best approach in doing so? Well, there's a couple of scriptures I want to share with you. This is a topic that we can go on forever. But as this is going to be a series of devotions, I just want to give you some thoughts and some places to start from. And so we're going to start with what Jesus said to his disciples in the Gospel of John chapter 13. The Gospel of John chapter 13. As a matter of fact, I'm sure most of you can already quote this to me, but let's hear it together. Verse 34 and 35, Jesus says to them, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Isn't it interesting that Jesus said that? Like, we understand that we're told to love one another the way that Jesus loves us. But then he adds to that by saying, if we love one another the way that he loves us, then the world will know that we're his, disciples. They're going to know that we belong to Jesus by the way that we love one another. It's kind of no wonder why the world at large has a hard time seeing the connection between God and his people sometimes, because we fail in the way that we love one another. Like, we can love those that make us feel loved. We can love those maybe that go to our specific church or are part of our specific denominations. But how often do we really and truly and genuinely love one another the way that Jesus loves us, with that perfect, self-sacrificing love? And going a step beyond that, we're not told to just love one another, but to allow that love to fuel this unity and this bond that we have with each other. See, Jesus, on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane before his arrest and later on his crucifixion, which this is a good week for that, right? Or a good week to talk about that. Jesus had this conversation with the Father that only the Apostle John records. And this is what he says. He says, "I do not pray for these alone." And he's talking about his disciples. Up to this point, he had been praying for his disciples. And he said, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may know, or that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." Isn't that really interesting that Jesus over and over again mentioned his desire for our oneness? Look, this is why we need the church. And I'm not talking about just the building, and I'm not just talking about our meetings together on Sunday mornings. But this is why we need to be the church. Because Jesus desires our oneness. He says, "Father, I want them to be one, just the way that you and I are one." How one is God the Son and God the Father? Same God, right? How one are we supposed to be? Same body of Christ. And so you might look at somebody and think, well, they're a stranger to you, but considering your eternal connection to them, they're an extension of you. Right? They're an extension of me. You're an extension of me if you're part of the body, if you've given your life to Jesus. We have this eternal connection that goes above and beyond what the world knows or understands. And in order for them to understand Jesus and his connection to the Father, the fact that he was sent and why he was sent, and the fact that we're loved by him, well, Jesus says the way that they're going to know is the way that you and I live out this oneness. That's our job. Now, taking it a step further, hear what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 2, this is what we're told to do as the church. "Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy," we know we have all those things in Jesus, right? He says, "fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Look, that's our job. To live out this oneness because of all the things that God has given us. And to love each other with the love that he has given us. And to consider one another and treat each other as better than ourselves. That's what it means to be the church. So this is my challenge to all of you. Our church, Calvary Chapel North Long Beach, and the greater body of Christ that's out there that may or may not see this. Look, let's use this time to be the church. You might say, well, Brandon, I mean, it's hard for us to be the church considering the fact that we're isolated. We're social distancing, right? We're hashtag safer at home. Doesn't stop us from being the church, right? From being who we are. Because we can consider each other even at a distance. So this is my challenge to you, that every day through the rest of this time, and maybe God would inspire you to do it beyond that. But why don't you every single day try to reach out to three people? A family member, a friend, and an acquaintance. Another believer, maybe somebody that's on the verge, maybe somebody that God would call you to reach out, to pursue, to give them the gospel so that they could be a part of his church, right? To be a part of his family. But consider each other and reach out to them. Ask them how they're doing. See if there's a way that you could be there for them. You know, it's no small thing to say that you're praying for somebody and to actually do it, by the way. You know, sometimes we can belittle the importance of praying, like all I can do is pray. Man, that's the best thing we can do for one another. Pray for somebody. Love on them. Encourage them. Give them a scripture. Maybe share with them the way that God is encouraging you in this time. But let's reach out. Let's consider one another. Let's see each other through God's eyes. Let's love on one another. Let's be unified. Let's be the church. Because this is the collective focus of the church. God bless you.